30, where we see two of the great used car dealers at each other again, Jacob and Laban. And it has been noted to me that letter E should be Jacob's response, not Joseph's. So you might want to change that. Let me pray for us before we look into this passage. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to see the greatness of your glory. Help us to walk rightly in your paths, that our life would bring honor to your name. And teach us by your Spirit so that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, Jacob has been with Laban for how long? 14 years. He served Laban 14 years, 7 for what he thought was Rachel, but was for Leah, and then 7 for Rachel. And now what is his desire in chapter 30, verse 25 and 26? What's one thing he wants to do? He wants to leave. He wants to go home. That's what it says in verse 25. Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. What else does he desire? He desires to take his family. Now, why would he say, give me my wives and my children for whom I served you and let me depart? Wouldn't it be normal for him to take his wives? Now, the law had not been given, but these things may have been practiced at the time before the law was given. It's possible that Laban saw Jacob as a hired servant, so to speak. And as long as Jacob stayed with Laban, he could have his wives. But when Jacob leaves, the wives and children belong to Laban. And in fact, later on in the passage, we'll see where Laban actually calls Jacob's wives his daughters and Jacob's children his children. And so Jacob wants to leave, and he wants to take his family with him. But what wealth or riches does he have? How much livestock does he have? None. He doesn't have anything. And so here's Laban's desire. I find this to be humorous. Jacob has just said, let me go, let me take my family, and let me get out of here. And Laban says to him, if it now pleases you, stay with me. Well, what would please Jacob? To leave. Well, he already said what pleased him. But now Laban says, well, if it pleases you, go ahead and stay with me. No, it doesn't please me. He says, I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. What did Laban recognize? That Jacob was a good worker, but that blessing came from the God of Jacob. Was the God of Jacob the God of Laban? No, and he particularly says this. He says the Lord, but he never calls the Lord his God. It's Jacob's God. The Lord has blessed me on your account. Now, what does this remind us of? Maybe the Abrahamic covenant passed down to Isaac, passed down to Jacob, where God said, I will bless those who bless you. But this is a little bit of a twist on that, because had Laban blessed Jacob? Not really. Laban had been a real deceiver to Jacob, but nevertheless, God was blessing Jacob. and Laban got some benefits from it. And that's one of the questions on your brain burner, number one. What were some of the promises God made to Jacob, and how is God's faithfulness demonstrated in Jacob's dealings with Laban? We'll discuss that more in detail in a minute. So Laban makes an offer. What's Laban's offer to Jacob? What? Yeah, he said, name it. Laban's offer was, whatever you want, you can have it. Name the wages, I'll give it to you. Just stay with me. So how does Joseph respond, or actually Jacob respond? Concerning himself, what did he say about himself? Verse 29, what did he say about himself? He said, I've done great for you. I've served you and you have fared tremendously. So Jacob's sort of patting himself on the back. I've been an excellent worker. So when I get ready to say these wages, just remember, I've been very good to you. It's sort of like the car dealer going about the price. He's getting ready to shoot in a very high price coming in just a second. But he also said something about the Lord. What did he say about the Lord? Verse 30 says, for you had little before I came, and it is increased to a multitude. There he is, patting himself on the back. But then he says, the Lord has blessed you. Jacob might be understanding what it is to walk by faith at this moment. I don't think he really is because of what it says in Hebrews, but he's beginning to understand that the Lord has blessed Laban wherever he turns. So now here's the deal. The deal between Jacob and Laban, you know this has got to be a good situation here. Jacob's proposition, what will Jacob do? He's going to pass through the flock and do what? Okay, he's going to remove all the spotted and speckled ones off to the side. And then what will he do? What else does he promise he'll do? Right, if there's any white one, but what does Jacob say he's going to do? In fact, he's not even asking Laban for anything yet. He's telling him in verse 31 he's going to do what? Keep his flock. In other words, you don't have to pay me anything. I'm going to keep your flock. So the first thing Jacob says is he's going to keep his flock. The second thing Jacob says is I'm going to separate out the spotted and the striped and the black sheep. And what are Jacob's wages going to be? The spotted, the striped, and the black sheep, which some individuals seem to think were the lesser quality, lesser desirable animals to begin with. So Jacob says, I'm going to remove all these lesser animals. I'm still going to tend your flock. You know your flock is going to be blessed because I'm in charge of it. You know how much the Lord and I have blessed you since I've been here. And then whatever is of this lesser quality, that'll be mine. And that's what you'll pay me. What does Laban say to this? What's Laban's attitude toward this deal? What?
He says, "Oh, that it were according to your word."
Yeah, he said, "Good. What you said. Exactly what you said, I'll sign my name on the dotted line." But what did he do? In verse 35, he took all the spotted and striped sheep and gave them to his sons and put them away from him a 3 days' journey. So what did Jacob start off with? Nothing. He thought he was going to start off with these striped and spotted sheep. But Laban's given them to his sons. And the sons are way over there. So Jacob is taking care of Laban's flock and has nothing to show for it. Nice guy, this Laban. The spotted goats and the black lambs he gave to his sons, and his sons he set a distance, a 3 days' journey away. And what did Jacob do? He took care of Laban's sheep like he promised. But he had a trick up his sleeve, didn't he? He had a trick up his sleeve, and that sort of goes with number two on your brain burner. What was Jacob doing? What was he doing when he peeled these rods for the sheep that were mating? Now let's read this bizarre account of what Jacob did. It says, "Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods." Now, some of the commentators made a note that this word white in verse 37 is the Hebrew word Laban. So one commentator put it in the English vernacular and said that he's turning the tables on Whitey. And he set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. So he takes these peeled pieces of tree, and it says they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Why? What? Think about it. All the striped, spotted, and black sheep have been given to Laban's sons. What does that leave Jacob with? All white animals, right? They don't have any marks on them. They're not striped. They're not black. They're not spotted. They're all white. But he takes these trees and he sort of puts stripes on these tree bark things, these limbs or whatever. The sheep come to the watering troughs. They mate at the watering troughs where there are these striped poplar branches, and their offspring are, speckled, spotted, and striped. Isn't that weird? What was Jacob doing? Yes, he was doing a genetic experiment. Do you understand that white is, for the most part in most animals, is a homozygous recessive trait? In other words, white animals will always have white offspring for the most part. But that's not what happened. So why? What did these striped pieces of wood do that caused these animals to give striped sheep? I think you're correct. I think Jacob thought he was doing something, but he's going to find out otherwise. If we continue reading, verse 40, what did Jacob do with these? He separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. So here's his trick number two. He takes all the white sheep and makes them look at the striped sheep. So that when they're mating, they're looking at what offspring they're supposed to have. So Courtney, what good is he doing? He's not doing any good, but this is what he thinks he's going to do. I mean, this guy was a scoundrel, a deceiver. I mean, he knew every trick in the book, whether it was legitimate or not. Well, what happened when they looked at the black and striped ones? It says, moreover, it came about when the stronger of the flock were mating that Jacob would put the rods inside of the flock in the gutter so that they might mate by the rods. So when the stronger ones were mating, he put these rods there so that they would see the stripes and their offspring would be striped. You know, it's not a whole lot different than what some people think about offspring, how you can... pass your acquired characteristics onto your offspring so that a animal such as a zebra kind of animal stretched its neck to eat a little higher and its offspring had a neck that was longer. And its offspring stretched its neck a little higher to get food, and its offspring was a little bit longer until you got a giraffe. I mean, that's what people used to think. Lamarckian view of acquired characteristics. Nobody believes that anymore, but they still teach it as the means of evolution, how you go from a fish in the sea to a cow on the land back to a whale in the ocean. If the survival of the fittest was to stay on land, why'd you go back in the ocean? Doesn't make any sense. And I think survival of the fittest would be the animal that has lungs and gills, not the one that gives up gills for lungs. But that's just me. Maybe, but his deal with Laban is that he would separate the striped and the spotted off to the side, and he would care for them basically as two flocks. And then notice what else it says. Moreover, it came about in verse 41, when the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in their sight so that they might mate by the rods, and therefore the stronger would produce strong striped spotted sheep. But when the weak were mating, he wouldn't place the rods there, so the weak would produce white, weak sheep. So Jacob's got this herd of strong, spotted, striped goats and sheep, and Laban's homozygous white sheep have become weak and feeble. So the result was basically what happened.
Jacob didn't know
basically, Jacob stole Laban's flock. Because now all the strong ones are Jacob's and all the weak ones are Laban's. And yeah, Laban's a little bit upset about this. Courtney. I cannot believe it was.
So God had to have a hand in that. Wait, now I better have a question. So is God blessing him for being tricky and stealing?
When has Jacob not been crafty, deceitful, stealing, thinking out for himself, etc., etc., etc.? When has Jacob ever thought of anybody else other than himself? He hasn't. But the question on your brain burner number one, what promises has God made to Jacob? Has he made any? What promises has he made to him? He'll prosper him. What has Jacob done to deserve that? Nothing. So what's Jacob doing now to deserve a large flock? He's still striving in his own wits. That's how Jacob lives. Jacob lives by his wits. And he's using these tricks of genetics, apparently, to get striped and spotted sheep and goats. But Courtney knows what really happened. And that's where we're headed. Yeah, those Punnett squares. Yeah. Genesis chapter 31. Now, Anna brought this up. What does Jacob recognize now? Laban's not happy anymore. Oh, Laban was a good old guy back in verse 27 of the previous chapter. If it pleases you, stay with me. Now Laban is getting a little bit furious, and Jacob saw that the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Yeah, Laban's not so nice anymore. And the Lord speaks to Jacob, and what does the Lord say? Go home. Now it's time to go home. It wasn't time to go home the first time, because why? Yeah, he was forgetting to take a whole wealthy herd of animals that God had planned for him. So he has a conversation with his wives. And what's the first thing he tells them? Your dad's not real happy with me anymore. What's the second thing he tells them? Well, before they have to leave. Yeah, he does. That's the third thing he tells them. What's the second thing he tells them? Yeah, I've done everything right. I served your dad just like I said I would. Your dad's not happy with me, but it's not my fault. In fact, the third thing he tells them is he cheated me. Every single deal we made, he cheated. If he spoke thus, the speckled will be your wages, then it brought forth speckled. If the stripe will be your wages, it brought forth striped. Whatever he tried to do to change it so that he got the better end of the deal, it wasn't happening that way. In fact, what's the fourth thing that Jacob tells his wife? God has taken away your father's livestock and has given it to me. And then he shares with his wives a dream that he had. And what did he see in the dream? He saw speckled, spotted, and striped animals mating, right? What color did Jacob see? White. What color did God see? The speckled, spotted, and striped. So, Courtney, who was really making the sheep come out the way they were coming out? God. And God is now showing Jacob, it's not according to your wits. It's not according to your tricks. I am the one that gave you the sheep, not you. And then what else does God tell Jacob? He identifies himself as the God of Bethel. What happened at Bethel? Yeah, let's turn back to Genesis 28. Verse 13. Verse 12 says, Jacob had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Bethel is the place where God established the Abrahamic covenant with Jacob after showing him a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder, showing that God is always in control. And way back at Bethel, God tried to get Jacob's attention and say, Jacob, it's not because you deceived your dad that you got the blessing. It's not because your mom had a plan that you received the blessing. It's not because you sold stew to your brother that you received the inheritance. I am the one in charge, and I am the one who is blessing you. And I promise to bless you the way I promised your grandfather Abraham and your daddy Isaac. And remember Jacob's response? Lord, if you take care of me, then you'll be my God. But God had already promised to take care of him. But Jacob thought he had to squeeze in a deal with God, because that's the only way he knows how to live, is making deals and living by his wits. God is telling Jacob, I told you at Bethel I would take care of you. I'm the same God. It's not by those poplar trees that you brought the flock brought forth striped and spotted. I did it. I am the one who stole Laban's flock from him and gave it to you. And now it's time to go home. So what's his wife's response? Daddy's not too happy with us either. So yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready to leave. So Jacob decides to take off. What does he take with him? He took his family and his livestock. Where 6 years ago he was willing to leave with just his family, now he's leaving with his family and his livestock. And what does Rachel take? The household idols. Does that bother you? Why does Laban have household idols? And why does Rachel want them? Well, that's a question on the brain burner. And then Jacob, before he departs, he waits how long? Verse 22 says, when it was told Laban on the third day, he waited for Laban to leave and go do something. It says in verse 21, he fled with all that he had and he arose and he crossed the river. Verse 20 says, Jacob deceived Laban by not telling him. And Laban has gone somewhere to do something for 3 days. And now Jacob says, I've got a head start. Because I know this guy doesn't like me. I know he's changed my wages every time we've made a deal. I want to get away from this guy as quickly as possible. So now Laban's way out there, and Jacob takes off. And where is Jacob headed to? Verse 23 says, Gilead. He's headed to Gilead, back where his family is, Abraham and Isaac, where they were promised the land. He's going back to the land that he was promised. Laban decides to pursue him. And it says it took Laban how long to catch up with Jacob? 7 days. Now, why did it take, or why could Laban catch up with Jacob? Think about all that stuff. 12 sons, 2 wives, 2 concubines, and a whole herd of animals now. You're not going to move too fast. Laban probably didn't bring his flocks with him. He just brought some men to arrest Jacob and all kinds of stuff. But right before Laban catches Jacob, God catches Laban. And what does God say? Don't mess with Jacob. Don't mess with him. It says, do not speak to Jacob either good or bad. Don't try any of your tricks. Don't try any of your deals. Don't try to deceive him. Don't mess with him. Let him go. So what is Laban's response to Jacob? How does he characterize Jacob? Louder?
A thief.
What else? Verse 27. Yeah, but how does he consider Jacob? We'll get to that in a second. A deceiver. So he thinks of Jacob as a thief and a deceiver. He wasn't supposed to say anything good or bad. But he comes to Jacob, and he says, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? That Jacob is some sort of thief and deceiver. What does Laban say about himself? In verse 27. We would have had a party. We would have had a going away party. I would have had joy and music and song and a feast. We would have enjoyed your departure. Now think about these two guys. These two guys are hysterical. What's Jacob telling his wives before they leave? I've done everything right. I did exactly what I promised your dad, and your dad is an evil, bad man. He's changed my wages, and he's deceived me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What does Laban say? I'm such a good man. I would have blessed you. You're the wicked man. You're a deceiver and a thief. These two guys deserved each other. Yes. Yeah, I've done so well in my service. Those guys are idiots. Oh, yeah, we've done pretty well ourselves. Y'all are idiots, yeah, exactly. But that's the nature of man, isn't it? I've done what I told you I would do. I haven't done anything wrong. Okay, I'm human, I'm not perfect, but I've been good. You're the one that's causing the problems. And that's Jacob and Laban. So then he has this question about his idols. And what does Jacob say about the idols? I don't have them, and in fact, whoever has them, you can put to death. What? Who's with Jacob? Did one of the sheep steal the idols? He's got two wives, two concubines, 12 sons, and a daughter. Okay, he might have some servants. Okay, yes, you are correct. But what kind of individual blesses God and says, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll sacrifice to you? And his daughter walks out. What did he expect was going to walk out of his house? Jephthah. What kind of weird vows are those things? Whoever has the idols, let them be put to death. If it's one of my sons or my daughter or my wives, go ahead, kill them. That's just weird. But like Courtney said, Courtney's been right several times tonight. He was confident they weren't anywhere. So what does Laban do? He searches everywhere. And Rachel has put them in a camel saddle, and she's sitting on the saddle. In verse 35, she says to her father, let not my Lord be angry that I cannot arise before you, for the manner of women is upon me. So he searched, but he did not find the household idols. Nice lady, this Rachel. What's she doing? Lying and deceiving. She's learned well from her dad and her husband as to how to live life by your own wits and get away with it, right? Nice family, the Jacobs. Nice family indeed. Well, we'll get to the end of the chapter and find out that you can buy a piece of jewelry that has the word Mizpah on it, verse 49, because it says, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. Now, isn't that sweet? And so you buy this little heart piece of jewelry, and it's got this little thing, and one person wears one half, and the other person wears the other half, and the Lord will watch between us while we're apart. Yeah, well, the part is, verse 50, if you mistreat my daughters or take wives besides them, God is witness between you and me. In other words, may God strike you dead. That's the covenant of Mizpah. It's not a sweet little agreement that God's going to watch between us while we're apart. Mizpah says, I don't trust you any farther than I can throw you. And you don't trust me any farther than you can throw me. And we're going to make an agreement that we're not going to mess with each other anymore. That's what Mizpah means, but they've made it into a sweet piece of jewelry. Put that in your hermeneutic study, Pastor Bryant. Funny piece of jewelry. Okay, on your brain burner, what are some of the promises God made to Jacob? He would make him prosperous. He also promised to bring him back to the land, because the land belonged to Jacob's descendants. And Jacob's descendants aren't in the land, so they have to come back. So how was God's faithfulness demonstrated in Jacob's dealings with Laban? What would Laban have had Jacob do? Stay with him forever. But even in the deceitful workings of Laban, giving Jacob Leah instead of Rachel, and then giving Jacob Rachel, and not saying that's the ideal that God had from the beginning, but God used this deceiver and trickster Laban to provide Jacob with the wives in order to have the descendants who would inherit the land. So God is taking everything that Jacob's doing that's wrong and everything that Laban's doing that's wrong and bringing about his desired purposes. Because he is God, he can do that. Verse 2, or number 2, what was Jacob doing when he peeled the rods for the sheep that were mating? I have no idea. I don't know what he was doing. I think he thought he had a way of ensuring striped sheep. He was living by his own wits. He wasn't trusting in the Lord. And he was trying to accomplish for himself what God had already promised that God would do. Unfortunately, I think some of us do that sometimes. God has made promises to us, and then we think we need to help him out by doing what's wrong. Let's go with what Pastor Bryant talks about a lot. Do you want to see people saved? Do you want the gospel to go forth? We'll change it a little bit, because people will be more interested if it's a nicer gospel. That's not what we should do. God has already promised to bless his word. We don't change it to try to help God out. God doesn't need any help. He's already promised to bless his word to save his sheep. And now this one. Why did Laban have household idols, and why did Rachel take them? Two why questions, and you can't have a why question. How many times have I told you that? Okay, why?
Well, you said earlier that Jacob's God wasn't Laban's God.
Jacob's God wasn't Laban's God. I'm not sure Jacob's God was Jacob's God yet. To God he was, to Jacob he wasn't. I would agree. Courtney is right again. Laban didn't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anybody know who Laban's sort of great-great-great-grandfather was? Yeah, Nahor and Haran. Where'd they come from? Ur of the Chaldees. And what was Abraham doing in Ur of the Chaldees? Worshipping false gods. So when this group of people start taking off along the Fertile Crescent and they stop at Haran up in Syria, and then Abraham's told to continue on down to the Promised Land and depart from his family, what's his family left with? Idols. That's all they've ever known is idols. Laban isn't a godly man. Laban is an idolater. Why did Rachel take them? She was an idolater too. Why? Some people just don't trust idols that much. Other people really think they're important. I don't know. There are no why questions in this class. Now, why did Rachel take them? You find it funny, though? Who was Rachel's husband? Oh, wait, sir.
When Leah has Judah, she prays to the Lord.
Good point. Maybe Leah did come to understand who the Lord was. It's not that these people were unfamiliar with the Lord. Remember, the servant of Abraham comes and says, God has directed my path, and Rebekah's the woman. Let me take her back as quickly as possible to Isaac. I mean, they knew of Abraham's wealth. They knew of Isaac's wealth. They knew of the God of Abraham and Isaac, and obviously of Jacob too. They just chose to worship idols. But maybe Leah came to understand that God genuinely was in control. She didn't want her daddy blessed anymore? Maybe she wanted her husband to be blessed?
Yeah. I don't know.
Good point. But who was her husband? And who blessed Jacob? So what should Jacob have told Rachel? Jacob should have told Rachel about his God. He didn't know, but I don't think he told her much about his God. He began to tell her some things toward the end when he had these dreams. But Jacob has not been a good witness. He's been a deceiver and a schemer and a trickster his whole life. And for your understanding of where I'm coming from, enjoyment, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about men who live by faith. Verse 21 says, by faith Jacob. Whoa, Jacob lived by faith. Excellent. as he was dying. Doesn't give us any more hope that Jacob lived by faith than while he was dying. It says he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and you can read that in chapter 49 and 50 of Genesis, and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. There is no indication that Jacob walked by faith until he was on his deathbed. He may have. But this is the verse that gives me the understanding that we can't find any other place in the Bible that Jacob lived by faith until he blessed the sons as he was dying. There you go. There's an excellent counter to what I just said.
I'm just wondering.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I can look at Joseph's life and see him living by faith. I can't look at Jacob's life and anything that he ever does that says he lived by faith. So that would be my response to that. So here we have an individual who has been promised the land, promised prosperity, promised the Abrahamic covenant, who lives by his wits, tries to gain for himself what he can get in this world, and yet God is blessing him. Because God is faithful to his promises. So in the midst of this crazy chapter 30 and 31, we still see a very faithful God who, when he makes promises, he keeps them. And so we can trust in him. Any other comments, Courtney?
I have one, but it's a question, and it's not really...
It's not for public viewing?
Well, it could be, but you may have already talked about it.
Well, why don't you go ahead and ask, since we have a minute or two? Yeah, I'm curious about it too. I know. Polygamy happens a lot in the Old Testament. And I do not think that it is God's design. I think that because of evil men, that is Laban and Jacob, Jacob got himself in that situation. And is divorce right? No. Does it happen? Yes. Do we need to take care of it? Yes. If it happens, we need to take care of it, even if it's wrong. So when Moses tells the nation of Israel, here's how you take care of divorce, is he saying, here's my stamp of approval on it because here's how you take care of it? No. Jesus said no. Moses isn't putting a stamp of approval on it. He's saying evil men do evil things. And one of the evil things evil men do is they divorce. But people need to be taken care of. So here's what happens when you divorce. Make sure that her food and necessities are taken care of. So you have two scoundrels, Laban and Jacob. What do you expect the family to be like? As we said when you weren't here, probably, in my opinion, the most dysfunctional family the world has ever seen. That's the one God chose. So there's hope for your family too. And mine. Yes.
When Rachel steals the idols, doesn't it seem strange that God let, like, there's no resolution to that? God just let her keep the idols, and she
Right.
It just seems strange to me. I would think that God would have prevented...
Would have shot lightning from heaven and destroyed them. Like James and John, the sons of thunder. Shall we call fire from heaven and scorch this city? No. I can't explain why God strikes dead somebody for touching the ark when it was falling off a cart when David was bringing it back to Jerusalem the wrong way. And yet somebody else does something that seems like more serious and God lets them get away with it. David commits murder and adultery and he lives. I can't explain all those things. But I do know that the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, took their gods with them. They were idolaters from day one. And that was their problem throughout the whole Old Testament, is that they loved their idols. Why didn't God just shoot lightning bolts at all the statues of Baal that Ahab erected? I don't know. Can't answer those questions, yes.
With Rachel, we have the third generation of woman, perhaps with a man, that was having trouble conceiving.
Having trouble what?
Conceiving.
Yes.
You had Sarah and had the back of now Rachel.
Yes.
Do you see any significance to that? It seems to be a pattern in Scripture. If I'm not mistaken, John the Baptist's mother is also another example.
Right. Oh, there are no coincidences. There's always purpose. I don't always know what the purpose is. I can just... You want to take this one?
Well, I think the obvious thing is that every one of those situations that God is putting them in a position to be dependent upon Him.
Mm-hmm. And that they would know who the rightful heir was to be. And so that there would be examples so that Paul could write passages like Romans 9. Yes.
Like in Samuel's story, mm-hmm. He told God to give him back to God.
Same thing with Samson. It was obvious that Samson was God's child, so to speak. Samson messed up. Samuel didn't mess up. So yeah, there are times when it's to indicate this child has been set apart for the service of God. But there are so many women who have trouble bearing children that I can't say that that's a universal application.
Not that this person is meant to be a servant of God, just that they understand that God gave them that child.
Right.
That it was a miracle.
Right. But women who don't have problems bearing children should have that same perspective. That the reason why they are allowed to bear children is because God has been gracious to them. It'll never be because we're, what Joe Saul used to say, wonderful people with whom God is justly proud. It'll never be for that reason. It'll always be because of grace. Any other comments, Courtney? It's nice to have you back. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for your word, for the truth that it teaches us. May we grow to know you more fully as the great God that you genuinely and truly are. That our faith would rest in you. Knowing that you do all things well, and you accomplish all your good pleasure. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.